what God's doing today in me. And then I just let him work that out. And usually it turns into something that I can transfer and just hope that it's going to bless other people the way that God blessed me with it. So hopefully that'll be true today. One of the things that has been a real common theme for me in being able to speak recently, these last few months, is I always find that I'm going back to the go-to scriptures, the easy, memorable scriptures, the ones that we all know and we've heard a gazillion times, but maybe God's saying, listen to it just one more time and listen really carefully, and you might just hear something new and something fresh. So I just believe that's going to be what God's going to do today with a familiar scripture. This one I'll start off with a ride on my motorcycle. I have a motorcycle, and sometimes I ride it to work. I work in Atascadero, so it's kind of a fairly long little ride, and it's beautiful, you know, from Cayucas to Atascadero going up 41. And pretty frequently, actually, I'll see vultures swirling around, just kind of hovering. And, you know, sadly, 41's a real bad place if you're an animal, and a lot of them don't make the trek across the road. Just almost every day there's fresh food for the vultures. And I was looking at them, and, you know, vultures are really beautiful creatures, I think. I mean, you wouldn't look at it. Have you ever seen one close up? Not so much. But you know what? All God's creation is beautiful, isn't it? He created everything. I remember one time I was at a church I was at many years ago, and it kind of went through a phase where there were certain creatures that were perceived as having evil connotations or whatever and attracted evil presence, and we kind of were told to take those things out of your house, and it was just a different season, and I never liked that. I thought, you know what? Maybe the enemy uses some creatures or images of some creatures for his purposes, but you know what? God made those creatures, and darn it, when he made creation, he said it's good, right? So I think vultures are good. I think they serve a purpose. End of sermon. Amen. No. Another thing I've seen, not and far less often, very, very infrequently, are eagles. Anybody happen to just catch a glimpse of an eagle? Comparatively speaking, it's a really rare occurrence, right? Especially around here. I have seen a couple. And usually it's just a little flash. It's zoom right across the sky, right over your head. And you go, whoa, what was that? I think that was an eagle, you know. I've seen it every now and then. You'll see a few here and there, but it's not anywhere near as often. When we lived up in Mount Shasta, we've been back about 5 years now, but when we were up there, if anybody's been up there, there's a place called Tule Lakes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful spot, kind of stark in a way. It's really kind of bare, sort of high deserty looking, and there's Tule Lake, and there's little groves of trees by the side of the lake, and if you know where to look, there's eagles nesting there. It's really amazing. I'd never seen so many in one place. My previous experiences with eagles was either in a zoo. Oh, look at that. You kind of feel sad because he's in a cage or whatever. Or just, you know, that little quick glimpse. But up here you drive through Tule Lakes, and there's like dozens of them in the trees just kind of hanging out, doing their nesting thing. And every now and then you might see one swoop down to the lake and catch a fish or something. Again, I think eagles are really amazing creatures. You know, I just think God did a really excellent job with those. And what we use the eagle, right, for our national symbol. It's sort of the symbol, isn't it, of strength and pride and dignity and just all things amazing when you think of an eagle. So I think generally we would say vultures, not so much of an image. Eagles, wow, if I was going to be a bird, wow, I'd want to be an eagle, right? Well, there's another bird. I wanted to read this one. This is a little story I ran into. You might have heard it. It's not new. I'd heard it, I think, way back in the past somewhere, and I remembered it and kind of dug it up. And I want to read this little thing. It's a fable of the eagle and the chicken. Anybody ring a bell? Anyway, well, you might remember it when you hear it. A fable is told about an eagle who thought he was a chicken. When the eagle was very small, he fell from the safety of his nest. A chicken farmer had found the eagle and brought him to his farm and raised him in a chicken coop among his many chickens. The eagle grew up doing what chickens do, living like a chicken and believing that he was a chicken. A naturalist came to the chicken farm to see if what he'd heard about an eagle acting like a chicken was really true. He knew that an eagle is the king of the sky. He was surprised to see the eagle strutting around the chicken coop, pecking at the ground, and acting very much like a chicken. The farmer explained to the naturalist that this bird is no longer an eagle. He was now a chicken because he'd been trained to be a chicken, and he believed he was a chicken. The naturalist knew that there was more to this great bird than his actions showed and what he pretended to be. He was born an eagle and had the heart of an eagle, and nothing can change that. The man lifted the eagle onto the fence surrounding the chicken coop and said, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The eagle moved slightly, only to look at the man. Then he glanced back down at his home among the chickens in the chicken coop, where he was comfortable. He jumped off the fence and continued to do what chickens do. The farmer was satisfied. "I told you he was a chicken." The naturalist returned the next day and tried again to convince the farmer and the eagle that the eagle was born for something greater. He took the eagle to the top of the farmhouse and spoke to him. "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." The large bird looked at the man, then again down into the chicken coop. He jumped from the man's arm onto the roof of the farmhouse. Knowing what eagles are really about, the naturalist asked the farmer to let him try one more time. He would return the next day and prove that this bird was an eagle. The farmer said, "It's a chicken." The naturalist returned the next morning to the chicken farm, took the eagle and the farmer some distance away to the foot of a high mountain. They could not see the farm nor the chicken coop from this new setting. The man held the eagle on his arm and pointed high into the sky where the bright sun was beckoning above. He spoke, "Eagle, thou art an eagle. Thou dost belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch forth thy wings and fly." This time, the eagle stared skyward into the bright sun, straightened up his large body, stretched his massive wings. His wings moved slowly at first, and then surely and powerfully. Within a few minutes, with the mighty screech of the eagle, he flew. So anyway, clearly, I probably could just leave it right there. I mean, how many times have we known there's something inside stirring, that there's something greater than this, that God has called me to greater purposes? But, you know, life has a way of just sort of beating us down. You know, we're on the ground scratching out a living, peck, 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 you know, like the chicken, you know. Just doing our thing. And there's nothing wrong with doing life, you know. There's nothing wrong with humility. If God wants me to be a chicken, hey, I'll be a chicken. But you know what? He has called us to something just a bit higher. Actually, a whole lot higher. I mean, when we start thinking, I guess that's the point, is sometimes even in the church, you know, there's this sort of a false humility that can prevail. Like, it's like, you know, no, don't lift up too high, don't soar too high, don't shine too bright, because, hey, you know, you don't want people to think that you're cocky, you don't want people to think you're arrogant, you don't want, you know, to give a false image. And Jesus is all the time saying, "I did something inside that heart of yours. You know, when you received me, guess what? The chicken feathers fell off, and there's an eagle heart in there, and there's an eagle that's in there that's trying to bust out." I'm going to go to an obvious scripture. I said I was going to bring up something familiar, so here we go. Isaiah 40, 31. "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." I need that. I need that scripture. I need the truth of it to just gird me up. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and I feel like the chicken. You know, it's time to get up, pull on my pants, put on my boots, go do my job, make my paycheck, go home, eat my dinner, tuck my head down, go night-night, you know, chicken life. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Chicken, you know, we need chickens, you know, but you know what, it's like that eagle story, you know what, we've been called to some greater purpose. Does anybody need that encouragement?
Yeah.
What do you need? To cause yourself to remember who you are, to rise above the chicken coop, and I'll be using words, you know, what's in a chicken coop? I've been there. Chicken poop. Rise yourself up out of the mess. It's a stinky mess, chicken business, right? Rise up out of that mess and get up there, up where the air is free and clear. And then you can see from up on the heights, right? You can see. When you're soaring with the eagles, there's things you can see that you can't see down on the ground. You know, there's things you can see. And I think that's what God wants us to do. And so how do you get there? And I was just thinking, you know, I don't want to read the entire Isaiah 40, but I'm going to read a good chunk of it because it's so good. And it's sort of like, if you know that passage, it's that soaring like eagle's wings. That's verse 31. That's the end. That's the last verse. How many know that when you're reading a passage of scripture, you need to read the whole context? There's a whole wealth of good stuff just above that. So let's start in verse 1. If you got a Bible, Isaiah 40, and I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm not going to comment on the entire thing because it pretty much preaches itself. But I do want to read a few passages and really highlight. Look how it starts. I mean, gee, what do you need? Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly. Whenever you hear the word Jerusalem or Zion, those kind of things, Israel, put your name in there. That's the way to do it. That's how you feed this stuff into your spirit. It's like, okay, oh, Zion, do this. It's like, Zion is God's people. Who are you? Who am I? I'm a God's people too. So I need to put my name in there so I can remember this isn't just for somebody else. Amen. It's for me. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Mike, to Rick, Linda, to Robin, to each one of us here. Speak to us and tell us that our sad days are gone and our sins are pardoned. Your sad days are gone. You know, yeah, okay, there's some patches that we run into that remind us that, you know what, the chicken coop isn't too far down from the heights. You can soar right back down and be down there in a heartbeat. But you know what, those sad days, he's saying, that isn't your calling. Your calling isn't to live in the sadness. In the dregs of life, in the day to day, in that bad call, phone call from the doctor's office. That's not where we're supposed to live. That bad call from that relative at 2 a.m. Guess what? This loved one has passed on. You know, those are sad things, yes. But God is saying, but when you're soaring an eagle perspective, those sad things, though they you feel them and they inflict sadness and sorrow, that's not where we live. We don't live down on that plane. We live in a higher plane. You know, we don't mourn like those who don't have hope. Yeah. Life really can deal harshly with us and leave us with just barely enough energy to walk. Amen? I mean, sometimes you feel like, wow, God, another day. Do I really have to get up today? If you've ever struggled with anxiety and depression, even just, you know, just the simple act of getting up and going to the bathroom, getting a drink of water can seem like a chore. You know, that's weight. That's heaviness. That is the reality that we live in. We do live in a real world where real sorrow happens, where real burdens can weigh us down. But there's an answer. Listen, verse 3. It's the voice of someone shouting. Shouting. Jesus loves you. God bless you, man. No, shouting. Shouting, 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 shouting. Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make straight highway through the wasteland for our God. How do you do that? An environment like we had this morning, an environment of praise, worship. You wake up in the morning, you can take that worship experience to your morning routine, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you sing as crummy as me, you can still offer up something to God, and he's going to receive it like you were the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or whatever. I don't know if that was the right answer. Anyway, they're pretty cool, though. Anyway, but you know, it's the voice of someone shouting. I think that's our voice. We need to lift it up. We need to shout. We need to be excited about what God's doing. You know what? That's how to shake off the dregs in the morning. Shout to the Lord. There's that song that we used to sing 20 years ago or so. Shout to the Lord. That's a good word. Shout to the Lord. It's a voice. It's a voice. Clear the way. Now, what does that mean? Clearing the highway. I think it's that there's a highway in our heart that needs to be cleared out, right? You ever seen those people with the little orange jackets working on the side of the road? Sometimes clutter develops on the side of the road, and it can not only ruin your view. Sometimes that clutter will even blow onto the road. It can be a problem. So God is saying, clear that road out. Clear the pathway of your heart. Make a clear way for me to work. I got stuff to do. And I'm using you. Guess what? Fill the valleys, verse 4. Level the mountains and hills. Straighten the curves. Smooth out the rough places. Who doesn't need their rough places smoothed out? You know what? I do. I'll bet you each one of us could benefit from just, all right, Lord, you know what? My heart's feeling a little crooked today. My natural man wants to kind of go take the side road, take the back road, kind of wander down through the valley a little bit. But you're calling me to the highway. You're calling me to the straight and narrow place. Here we go again, verse 6. Well, actually, let me back up. Verse 5. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. When I clear out that dirt, that highway muck that gathers in me, people are going to notice it. That's how we're supposed to preach the gospel, folks, right? It isn't about hitting people over the head with your Bible. It's about living in such a way and that attractive life of Jesus, that light that comes through a life that's surrendered to him. That's the attraction. That's the honey that gathers the bee, right? It's not the, you're going to go to hell, boy. You know, it's not that. That's not what wins people to Jesus. It's true. Yeah, okay, if you don't have him, you aren't, you know, that's not a good thing. But you know what? Jesus didn't do that. He didn't call down fire on anybody. In fact, his disciples, remember that? Hey, you know, Lord, can we call down some thunder? You know, no. You know what? I want you to love people. I want you to love people. That's how we get people into the kingdom. By getting that thing inside of us cleared up, getting the clutter in our heart cleared up. Verse 6, shout, I asked. What should I shout? It says, shout that people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers, the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. That's part of the gospel, right? It's like, yeah, the reality is this isn't going to last. This gorgeous physique, this isn't going to stay that way forever. It gets older, you know? That handsome little chiseled face in the mirror starts to sag a little bit and wrinkle. And guess what? That's the flower fading, isn't it? Life keeps rolling forward. And guess what? We've got so much to do, no matter how many years we have left. But the Word of God, that's where we stand. The Word of God is the light that people are looking for, and they don't want to hear it from your mouth. That's the key. They don't want to hear you say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's true. You need to hear that. Amen. But they want to see you live like God loves the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, that's how we get people to Jesus. We're attracting them through living that gospel, yeah. Through living that word. The word, it says here in verse 8, stands forever. That's good news. That's really good news. Verse 9, O Zion, O Mike, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder.
Good.
O Mike, O Rick, O Dan, O everybody, Breezy, whoever is out there, Jesus is saying, live this thing so that people can hear it. And he wants them to hear it with their heart. When you hear things in your ear, my words, for instance, today, they're gonna go, you know, but the word of God is going to stick and grow. Anything I say that's inspired of the Lord, that's going to cause change. That's going to cause growth. If I'm just up here blabbing and sharing my life stories or my funny vulture sightings, you know, that might not stick so well. But if I'm telling you that verse 10, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. That's verse 10. Wow, that's memorable. This powerful God, we're going to talk a little bit more in just a second how powerful he is, because it's important. Listen to this. He will rule with a powerful arm. He brings his reward with him. He's coming back. That's the word. Jesus is coming back, and we like to think he's coming back. Some, you know, people emphasize he's coming back to judge the world. No, it says he's coming back with his reward with him. He's coming back to say, well done, guys. Good. Nice work. You did good. You did what I gave you to do. That's the biggest amen, you know. And if you were to put something on my tombstone, it'd be cool to say something just as simple as, he did what God gave him to do. What else is there? You know, I mean, that's the dash between the 1950 whatever and the 2000 and whatever on the other side of the rock. You know, what happened in that little spot in between? What did I do to make that space filled up? Did I do good with what he gave me to do? Here's the one I really want to kick this one into gear. Verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Look at the contrast. Mighty God, almighty, awesome in power. And we're going to read about this in a second. Well, let's read it right now. Who else held the oceans in his hand? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth, or who has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? God, he holds oceans in his hand. It says, well, I mean, we'll go down a little further. I'm getting myself all ahead of myself here. But God is big. Amen?
Yes.
It says later on, I don't know if I'm going to read all of it. Probably won't read all of it. It talks about how he scatters the stars and puts them in place and holds them in place. Holding the stars in place with his hand. What's in his hand? What did we just read? He holds us in his heart. He holds us. The same hands that hold the stars in place hold us to his heart. Is that like a wow?
Yes.
That's crazy. That's insane. How valuable are you?
Yeah.
How valuable are we?
Good.
And then when you're tempted, when things aren't going so well, we've got verses like verse 13. Who's able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Remember? Remember that time you went through something really terrible? God, how could you let this happen to me? How could you let my daughter die? How could you let my mom have cancer? Right? That's tough stuff. And we want to counsel God. Why did you do that? How could you let this happen to me? But guess what? He's the same God that is clutching you tightly to his heart. Yeah, he doesn't like us to have to go through those nasty, terrible, horrible things. But you know what? I can point back at my life and look at every one of those horrible things, and I can say, you know what, God, you made me stronger. You made me better. I when my heart healed after losing my daughter, that heart is stronger. And it's not only stronger, but in God's strange economy, it's stronger and softer. That's the ultimate material, right? It's so strong that I know that I can walk through Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death, and fear nothing. I know that now. You know, it's rough that he chose or allowed certain things to happen to prove that to me, but he did prove it to me, and he'll prove it to you. If you're walking through something terrible like that right now, he's gonna prove himself to you. He proved himself to me and my family and all the rough stuff that we've had to walk through. He's proven himself over and over again. Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what's good? God, that's terrible. How could you let a bad thing? I'm telling God what's bad? That doesn't make sense. Does he need instruction about what's good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? That's not fair, God. How could you let this happen to my friend, to my mom, to my brother, to me? How could you let this bad stuff happen? The greatness of God is contrasted with his love. He's awesome. He holds the stars in place. He counts the grains of sand. He knows every hair on my head. And he holds me to his heart all at the same time in the same breath. When I'm grabbing onto that, when I'm holding onto that, I can't help but recognize who he created me to be. He didn't make junk. He doesn't waste time with things that are insignificant. He's made everything beautiful and everything good, even the vulture, right? Verse 18, skipping down a bit, to whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? We compared, you know, ourselves. We're like eagles sometimes. Sometimes we're like chickens. Elsewhere in the same passage, it talks about we're like grasshoppers, you know. I mean, wow, grasshopper, eagle, you know. I mean, but how can you compare God to something? You can't compare him to anything. We have images. If somebody says, okay, go, paint a picture in your mind of what God looks like. You might have a concept, and it'll be just based on something flawed and something limited, because our minds can't really fully grasp how great this God of ours is. So how can you compare him to anything? Verse 25, we'll skip down. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after the other, calling each by name. Wow. Wow, I don't have time. Wow. He calls each one by name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Would you miss it if a couple of stars just blinked out today?
No.
Probably not. God would. That's wild. Our incomparable God, that awesome one that controls the entire universe, he loves us tenderly. Is that wild? I don't know. I think we could just camp on that one. The same God loves you more than anything. More than, you can't think, what's valuable on this planet? We were talking the other day about cars, and I was even looking it up. There's cars made in 2017. There's, can't remember which one. I think it was a McLaren. $3.7 million for a brand new car right off the assembly line.
Yeah.
There aren't very many of them. That's why it's $3.7 million. But you get my point. So how valuable, give me one of those, you know. The one that loves me owns the entire universe. What about $3.7 million car? What, you know? You could probably find a rock. I'll bet you could find a rock that's worth $3.7 million. It might be made out of diamond. It might be made out of a gemstone of some sort. You could probably find a rock worth we have an inheritance in a place where streets are made out of gold. It's like, it's just trash. It's just used. You know, there's nothing to aspire to on this planet greater than who your identity is in Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing else greater. There's nothing greater than that.
Amen.
Verse 27, O Mike, O Bill, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Mm-hmm. Oh, Robin, how can you say that God ignores your rights? Insert your name in that verse 27. Oh, say your name. How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Mm-hmm. Another blank. Oh, put your name in there. How can you say God ignores your rights? He is just. He's everything that we know him to be and more and beyond. Verse 28, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. I need some of that. Even youths will become weak and tired. Young men will fall in exhaustion. Here it comes. But those who trust in the Lord, who wait upon the Lord, trust in him, hope in him, all those words can be inserted in there, will find new strength. Anybody want some new strength?
Yes.
I want some. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So that, I think that's a very familiar verse, but you know when you put it in the whole chapter, wow upon wow, God, you're so good. Your word, how can we not just drink it every day? You know, we would, if somebody said, you drink this little bottle here, and you're going to lose that extra pounds that you're looking for, you're going to wake up and you're going to have all the strength you need to get through your day, your wrinkles will just shrivel away and go. We would drink that drink, right? We would guzzle that stuff down. We'd buy a 12-pack and you know what I'm saying? My point is that that's what God's word is. It's that milk, it's that power bar, it's whatever, you know, it's more than anything you can comprehend. So we get so comfortable with our little lives, right? You know, the chicken life. Pecking on the ground, I got a little soy, here's a little bit of barley. I don't know what else is in chicken's feed, but, you know, we're happy with that. And God's saying, you know what, that's okay, that's a provision. I've got so much more. I want you to soar to your full inheritance, mm-hmm. Right? So what ways, just kind of finishing up with just sort of an introspection question, can you identify some ways in your life that maybe you've been settling for the chicken coop?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Instead of just jumping up there and soaring on the way to work, or not the way to work, on the way here this morning, there was a guy on one of those hang gliders. There's that hill over there in Morro Bay, in between Cayucas and Morro Bay, and I don't know if it was one of those ones that had an engine or something, but he was just doing these whew, you know, and I thought he was going to crash into the highway. He starts coming down, And he swooped up, and then he just kind of went around, and he went back over the ocean. Whoa, he was soaring. You know what? He was, and that's what I kind of see, that joy, that free air, I guess, around your wings. You know, just there's a freedom in there, and just soaring. And God's saying, you know what? Come up off the ground. Let me catch some air under your wings. Let me lift you up. If you need lifting up, I think we could pray for that today. Let's do that this week. Isaiah 40, that's an easy to remember. Just go back and reread it and reflect on what we said today. Apply it to yourself and just let it refresh, because sometimes we just need a refresh. We hear the same word so many times, and it just kind of, we get numb. I've heard a pastor explain it sort of like getting a vaccination. You come to church, you get a few verses, and it like vaccinates you almost. And you almost like become numb. Especially if you don't react and respond to that word, you just kind of, okay, I've got that. Yeah, I've heard that. But you know what? If you're waiting on God, if you're trusting in, hoping in, and believing in God, you will mount up with wings like an eagle. It doesn't say you might. You will. Wait on Him. Trust Him.
Yes.
Let Him take you through whatever that valley is today, and He's going to take you to the mountaintop. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.